Teenage? Oh, good. That was good ones.
I wish you'd on the room just attacked when I'm even starting.
Okay.
So, you can start it with your idea. So.
I should start? No, so I thought that we might speak a little bit about speech coding because nobody is doing here speech coding, and I would like to have some maybe feedback because except me, I'm supposed to do some speech coding stuff here with Hinek, but you know that a little bit at least that it's based on some, let's say, Hilbert transforms using longer temporal context and deriving some parameters which would be transmitted to decoder. So it's a little bit different than the stuff which people are using now, which is like LPC based. But we are at the beginning with everything more or less. So still, we can encode the speech, but of course there are many problems which we still didn't solve. And the biggest one is quite similar to LPC stuff, where people still don't know how to exactly encode the carrier or the source signal. You know what to do with the envelope or how to approximate the envelope, let's say, when you have got.
Maybe, is the whiteboard working? Or not?
You mean that it would be nice to
maybe
at least
show us?
Yeah, at least on paper.
Maybe I'll
write
yeah.
on the paper.
Yeah, yeah, at least you can write on
okay,
the paper.
You can just write it on the paper.
So what we are doing now, yeah?
Yeah.
You mean? Okay, everybody knows LPC stuff, how it works,
yeah,
so same. I don't have to present anything more. But it's more or less very simple. We have, let's say, at the beginning there is some speech signal. What we might see it in a very simple way that we are using some Hilbert transform at the beginning to create analytic signal. The analytic signal is the signal which is a complex which you can create
yeah.
from the real some sequence, and if you apply a Hilbert transform on that on such a speed signal like real trajectory, then you get a complex signal, and if you take just the amplitude, then you get Hilbert envelope code. So I don't know. Yeah, let's say.
So is this different from the original PLP2 stuff then, is it?
Yeah, it's not PLP2.
Because that's what you started with, wasn't it?
The
stuff that Marius.
No, but Marius is similar
no, it's
stuff. No, Marius is also using
same.
Like Hilbert transform.
Okay.
I know what you mean with the PLP. They are applying PLP with some iteration with this one approach. So
okay.
They were doing some smoothing of a spectrogram.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
two ways.
It's parameterizing
right.
it both temporally
both.
And across
right.
the spectrum.
But PLP
yeah.
is using just the spectral. Direction, let's say you are doing for every 20 millisecond processing
yeah.
one feature vector.
Yeah.
And you are processing one spectral band, frequency band.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
So it's different direction.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is very simple. So applying that absolute operation, you get Hilbert envelope. And of course, there is the phase.
Yeah.
So it's
mm-hmm.
just the complex operation. And that's more or less all what we are doing. So now what we know is how to approximate that Hilbert envelope. We are applying that Hilbert, what is Marius stuff.
Yeah,
so he knows
yeah,
how
yeah,
to
yeah.
encode the Hilbert envelope.
Some kind of DCT or
like
again?
RSS
yeah.
or LPC.
Yeah.
You're applying again some linear prediction model.
Yeah,
yeah
that.
But it's a little bit,
it's
a different linear prediction.
Yeah.
It's a complex linear
it's
prediction.
It's a little bit different. It's not applied in a frequency domain. So instead of classical LPC domain where you have a spectrum,
okay.
something like that, and you're applying some linear prediction model, which is trying to approximate the spectrum, right? So
yes.
This is frequency. In our case, we are trying to approximate kind of instantaneous energy.
Yeah.
So if this is a time, and you get one, and one frequency band, you can see something like this.
Yeah.
And we are trying to approximate that envelope, which is that Hilbert envelope.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. So again, we know what to more or less we know what to do with Hilbert envelope. We know that we can apply their prediction model, and it works pretty well.
Okay.
But if you want to really well construct the speed signal, or the
you need the phase.
Yeah.
You need also the phase signal, which is in some sense quite simple for voice speed signal, let's say.
Because
but
you use linear phase or
The phase? No, you. It's a phase, or you can even call it like a carrier. So the carrier is, if you know, amplitude modulation, right?
Yeah.
You might see something like there is really one cosine, which is very good.
Same frequency.
Well, it depends
right.
on how this. I mean, you're talking, just the carrier. Okay,
yeah.
That's not necessarily phase, but if you're using some
it's
sort of
like
sinusoidal carrier,
right?
Phase.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is the signal which you also have to somehow encode or transmit from a coder to decoder in order to presynthesize it.
Well,
right?
So, sort of bit rate do you get for the encoding of the Hilbert transform, the spectrogram?
What do you mean? Again?
What sort of coding do you get so far for the
for this one?
No.
For
the
LSF.
The linear prediction
one?
Yeah. Well, it's just linear prediction, classical way. I mean. Oh, okay. Well, if you
well,
want to see it in more details.
No. But what sort of bit rate do you get? Is it? Do you have any sort of idea of what sort of bandwidth?
Oh, you mean.
Main bit rate.
Yeah,
what is
bit rate? You mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So. More or less, what we are using now is, let's say, something like 1.2 kilobits per second for the Hilbert envelope.
Okay, and that's with a fully optimized sort of compression scheme,
it's
or that's just the raw data? Or
it's again roughly estimated somehow, but we still know that we can go down.
Yeah, sure. You just cut out fewer bands and just use interpolation or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are using
so
like
1.
15 bands.
Okay, that's with the full spectrum basically being used.
Right, but they are integrated into 15 bands using a classical way like in MFCCs or MPOP. We just apply some those triangular windows or something like that in order to get just 15 bands. Right?
Yeah.
And each band is then processed independently.
Yeah.
So for one band, we more or less have like 100 bits.
Okay, that's quite good. So,
well,
and Inek was showing me how scalable it is in terms of you can take half the bands away and still get decent performance.
Right.
You take 3/4 of them away, it starts to degrade, but it's still intelligible, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's without doing any sort of prediction of what the missing bands might be, right? You just leave them out.
Right. That's what we did.
You could be able to do some sort of code book.
Yeah,
missing data
sort
of based stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are many things we didn't try at all, but yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But now what I'm really trying to do is somehow approximate that carrier signal, to do something with the carrier. There are many simple things which you can do, like quantization, scalar quantization,
for example. It would be nice to have a scalable scheme, though, wouldn't it? Like, because you've got a nice scalable scheme for the coding of the smooth spectrum.
Right.
It'd be nice to have some sort of scalable coding scheme for the voice signal as well, right?
You mean something like that kelp coding system where you are, or
well, I don't know.
What
I'm
is
just
no? What is exactly a scalable system? What you mean?
Well, different bit rates for the actual excitation as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice. Let's say if you had 1,200 bits for the smooth spectrum and 1,200 bits for the voice.
But
so
I think this approach can do that because you really can split it into several.
Yeah, sure.
And you can decide how many bands you want, more or less.
I have a question. Is the scale linear or is MEL scale, like in MFCC?
Yeah, this is a bar scale.
It's a bar scale, like in
or
MEL
scale.
Yeah.
So it's being more wider for
like
and of course the space.
The overlapping is different, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. But my sense is that it's not so much important still. I mean, it doesn't matter if you use mass scale or bar scale.
No, just as long as it's some sort of
right.
Nonlinear.
But that's what
we
are using.
Okay.
Actually, we are using just Gaussian windows here instead of the triangulars, because they are more
smooth or
no, it's better than for decoding. It's better to play with them because they are not zero anywhere. You know, they are approaching, or in a limit they are in zero, but actually they are not. So you don't have to care about some zero values here.
Okay.
By morals, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We are using just Gaussian windows.
Okay.
So after you're doing LSF, so like, I mean, how you're finally
okay, so
encoding
those that the Hilbert envelope is approximated by linear projection. So you have LPC coefficients which you can transcribe into LSS.
And then vector quantize. Mm.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So first you apply these triangular filters and then do LPC coding, or like?
Right, exactly. So first, the approach is quite simple. So at the beginning, we apply DCT in order to get frequency domain.
Yeah.
Then you apply those triangular
filters
or Gaussian windows.
Yeah.
So this is done for 1 second, 8,000 samples for 8 kilohertz. Right? So for such DCT trajectory, you apply those Gaussian windows. And then, so you split it into frequency subbands. And then each one frequency subband is more or less.
Again, you do the LP analysis on each subband. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You just apply LP. So outer correlation, let's say, or you can do power spectrum, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for each one, you get LSFs here.
Yeah. So how many LSFs you're using?
Well, I'm using now like 20 LSFs per 1 second. Per one frequency band.
Okay, so but you, how many bands you're using?
15.
You're not skipping any bands or like?
No, no, no. I just skip
15 into 20 then. Like,
so
yeah,
20 LSFs, each one is it's quantized by 4 or 5 bits.
Okay, so it's 300
of what? 300 bits?
I mean, it's a total of 300 sort of parameters per second.
Yeah.
But phase, you're not encoding anything. Phase, you're directly transmitting. Right?
You mean this phase, the Hilbert carrier, or?
Yeah. The
phase of
Hilbert.
You're not currently transmitting that at all, really, at this point in time, are you?
You're not transmitting at all.
Well, there are many things you can do. We don't. Well, first thing what you can really do is just to replace it by Gaussian
noise. Yeah, it's noise.
So you can really use, like in a
whispering
type. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or you can replace it by some cosine, one cosine generated in a central frequency of the Gaussian window.
Or one of these glottal pulse things,
and
just use basic LPC-10 style.
Right.
Yeah. Which is probably, I mean, if you were going to aim for like a very low rate coder below 500 bits per second, I guess that's probably fine.
So what is the self-standard, like it's 2 kilobits per second?
The lowest standard is MELP, I think, which is 2400.
Oh, that's two kilobits.
It's been implemented at 1200 bits per second using more complicated quantization schemes and stuff like that.
700?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's
possible. They used matrix quantization on the LP, on the LSF parameters or whatever.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's quite, it becomes quite computationally intensive. But I mean, I imagine the same sort of approach could be.
Well, I'm just comparing it with LPC-10 standard, which is like classical LPC, a little bit optimized. So then there is, I think, 2.4 kilobits per second per bit rate for that.
Yeah, that's the same. 20 MELP's a lot better quality, though.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
But this is codex-rated, right? You have codebooks.
No, I mean, LPC-10 is just LPC.
Oh, it's not codebook.
No.
There is no codebook.
I think
just noise or those impulses.
I think SELP or KELP or
however. Yeah, SELP is.
It's about 4800, I think.
Yeah, it's around 1 kilobyte.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the standard's 48.
That's, I think, even GSM and all this, G729.
Or based around that.
Based on SELP. At least it gives.
It's not terribly interesting, though. Really.
But still, there is codebook, no? So that's
why
it's maybe better than like using just random noise.
Well, you've got a bunch of options, haven't you? You can use like a code excited, or you could use a.
Well, more or less, what we didn't do is analyze by synthesis, right? So that's what
Sony
SELP is doing, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, so this is what we really didn't do, and that might help a lot, of course.
Yeah, but what's more interesting?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that's the question.
I suspect with something like SELP, you're going to get a lot higher bandwidth, aren't you? I mean, it's a higher bandwidth standard,
so. Yeah, For example, what I also did was a simple peak picking algorithm. So if you take a look on the spectrum of that carrier signal, which is more or less like cosine, if you really take a look on it, but it is kind of frequency shifted cosine or frequency modulated cosine.
Okay.
Right, so it's the frequency seems to be changing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, the amplitude is not constant all the time. It should be theoretically, but
frequency. Okay.
So what you can see for 1 second signal, you more or less you really might see some like one impulse there or spectral line.
Okay.
But usually there are many others which are quite small, but they are quite important. If you don't transmit them, then the signal is quite robotic or something.
Mm.
So if you really transmit just one spectral line. But this is what you can do, and you can understand pretty well.
Yes.
The signal is audible or...
Okay, so
if
I
you
mean
really just
but
find one line, one spectrum, the dominant one
yeah.
in the spectrum
mm.
of the carrier, Hilbert carrier, and you just transmit this parameter.
Yeah. Because it's a bit tricky, isn't it? It's not like a standard... I'm just thinking, I mean, what sort of option... It's not like you can't just do standard, you know, inverse filtering for
no,
signal reconstruction or anything like that,
mm.
can you?
It's even easier, because what you have to do is just divide the... You just multiply the Hilbert analog by the Hilbert carrier, that's all.
Oh, okay, and then you just do the inverse
yeah,
FFT
yeah.
or whatever.
Inverse, yeah,
yeah
inverse
exactly.
Hilbert. Yeah.
Okay, the other, I
so
mean, the
you
other
just multiply that one Hilbert carrier, which is transcribed by LSFs,
yeah.
by that this one IFFT signal. So,
but that's going to be susceptible to having phase problems, is it? When you
you mean the phase of that
yeah,
carrier
yeah.
output signal?
Of course, I tried to play also with that, and I found that it doesn't matter so much which what is the phase, because we are using just 1 second window,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
So of course there might be some disturb when you concatenate those segments together, but then the phase might be important.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, I didn't find anything important with the phase. Like, great, keep the phase zero and it works. Or
mm. And I mean, there is research that's been published showing, you know, speech reconstruction from the essentially the spectrogram without.
Right.
Phase information.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But it's again a little different because they are doing this in a frequency domain.
Yes.
But this is in time domain.
Yes, but I mean you can reconstruct the entire
right. The spectrogram.
Spectrogram from
yeah,
that, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
So you could do it that way.
Because
I'm just thinking there's heaps of options, like if you would be exactly the same as sinusoidal coding or something like that.
Right.
All you need is the reconstruction
right.
of the spectrogram in order to estimate the harmonic amplitudes. And
exactly. What we can also do very simply is just to get the magnitude spectrogram
and then
using this approximation
yeah.
without the carrier, just Hilbert analog.
Yeah.
But you just get it in this way, in
yeah.
the way of Raoult's, right? But you can also get the short time Fourier transform
yeah.
Just by refitting.
Right. Just classical
yeah.
frame by frame algorithm, 20 milliseconds. But you keep just the faces
yeah, yeah.
instead of magnitudes. And you can put this together.
Okay.
Right?
Mm.
And it works pretty well. Then the signal is not just whispered. And you really hear that there is a voiceness in
yeah.
the signal.
Mm.
Okay.
But of course, the quality is not so good still. But you can use it for like 2-3 kilobits per second and it works.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that's the big thing at the moment, isn't it? If the encoding rate's 2 kilobits per second for the excitation component of the
right.
signal, it doesn't matter how efficient your encoding of the spectrogram is.
Right.
You're always going to have a high, relatively high bit rate.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so maybe it would be nice if you'd. You tell us what you did with the speech coding, because I didn't see any of PhD thesis of you, I think, so if you did something. So maybe it would be interesting at least
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sure. Well, one could argue it's a field that's quite a sort of a niche these days, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
mm.
sure.
But yeah, but it's more towards industrial,
no?
Like
standards,
yeah, because I worked in the industry for like a small time, but there they used to implement all these coders, JSON and IT standards.
So you were When did you do that?
No, just before my PhD.
Okay.
I had for like few months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the like industry, it's really a big deal. Like, so
Yeah.
they work on a lot of these
I
standards.
think so, yeah. Well, did you say
But
had
mostly
Nokia?
they're all based on self and like mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Nokia is being sued in the US for their tri-band
Ah.
usage because
You mean using that
intellectual property.
CDMA?
No,
Or.
no GSM,
Tri-band is
because they don't
GSM.
have GSM in the US, or they didn't have GSM in the US.
Yeah, it's not GSM, right? It's
CDMA.
Cyanops.
No,
Oh, Cyanops.
CDMA is another level, I think.
No, but
Another
CDMA
level.
is there, but now slowly they're introducing GSM also, no, in US.
Well, that's tri-band. Yeah,
Yeah, GSM tri-band, like
that's
the
in
frequencies
US.
are
Yeah,
different, like.
different. Yeah,
So, yeah.
and apparently Nokia's in a bit of trouble over that one, but yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, now it's really big
I think there's a
competition.
lot of money in that,
Yeah,
right?
should get a
Yeah.
lawyer.
Like speech recognition, of course, it's very interesting, but people don't use it so much as
Well, that's.
just coding, just telephoning, right?
But I
Or
mean,
just
coding is a much more sort of.
standard, maybe
It's
like
well, I mean, it's it, when it boils
established.
down to just mathematics to a large
Right, yeah.
extent, doesn't it?
This, yeah.
It's just a sort of. It's,
Yeah.
communications
Right.
sort of.
So where do you think your thing is useful, in CDMA or GSM?
No,
I think
I
maybe
like.
in CDMA it may
But
be. CDMA is more
what we
like
were thinking about is, oh, CDMA, I mean, there
more
is
time
the.
domain. They're doing only.
Well, the problem is this in with this application, or it doesn't have to be a problem, but one constraint is that we are processing 1 second of the signal. You can go
Okay.
down, of course, but then you are losing a little bit of the bit rate, let's say,
Yeah,
right?
sure.
Yeah.
So, but there are many applications where you really can use it because you don't care about algorithmic delay, 1 second algorithmic delay, like
Yeah.
for, I don't know, if instead of SMS, you can really have some other channel
Yeah, sure.
where you
Push to talk
just,
and stuff like
right.
that. Yeah.
So,
And I mean, as you
totally.
say, I mean that delay is. I mean, you can squash that delay to some extent,
Right,
right?
right.
Yeah.
I think as far as the delayless coding goes, I don't think you can probably do much more than what's already been achieved
Yeah.
because to get higher compression, you have to, take advantage of redundancy over
Right.
longer time spans. So.
But even already these long line telephones, they already have delay, no? At least half a
Yeah,
second
sure,
or
but I mean that's transmission delay, not
yeah.
algorithmic delay. If you add
Yeah.
those
Right.
together, you end up with
Yeah.
a nightmare scenario.
But mobile.
What
We might have someone else
is
joining our meeting
that?
soon.
This one is.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you tried sinusoidal coding based approaches, didn't you?
Which one?
Sinusoidal coding.
Well, but the sinusoidal coding is usually, I mean, at least what I think or what I know is when you are doing sinusoidal coding, it means you just take the speech signal at the beginning, right? And you are trying to find to.
Harmonics and
Yeah, to find the
yeah,
harmonics in
sure.
a temporal domain, right?
Yeah,
For that.
it's a term. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, you'd need it, part of the parameter set for that is are the harmonic amplitudes.
Right.
Now, one way of compressing the harmonic amplitudes is just storing a smooth spectrum, and then
Oh, yeah.
And then
you can
picking.
interpolate. Yeah,
Yeah.
you can just pick the harmonic amplitude on that spectrum when you reconstruct.
Right.
On that smooth version of the
More or
spectrum when
less,
you
I did it,
reconstruct.
maybe different way, but
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
kind of
I
algorithm like, okay, trying to find out the strongest or the most dominant peaks from the
was saying.
spectrum,
Yeah.
which is
But
more or
maybe
less the
the bit
same.
rate is the problem, no? Like what
Yeah,
David was doing, like it's really.
it's quite high bit rate, but I mean, once again, it maybe it's something that's scalable.
But you know,
Yeah, maybe
the.
you can just see how many harmonics. He was using 20, I think. Like, yeah, maybe you can try to reduce.
Well, I mean, you can use as many harmonics as you want. I mean,
Yeah.
he was just using the fundamental
Yeah.
frequency.
Right.
And if you're smoothly doing a smooth spectrum representation of the harmonic amplitudes, then you only need to store
The
the fundamental frequency
right, and then all these amplitudes,
and the maximum voice frequency, and everything
and
else
then you
can
do
be.
multiples of
Yeah,
that. Yeah, yeah,
sure.
yeah.
So, and then, but then the only tricky thing that we hadn't figured out was the phase
Yeah,
interaction.
it's again.
Yeah.
But you can still get a. Like you get basically, if you do phase unwrapping and all of these other tricks, you end up with some sort of phase representation, which is
Some kind of
like some sort of
linear.
monotonically decreasing
Yeah.
If it is
function.
unwrapped, you mean? Unwrap
Yeah, unwrapped.
phase.
Yeah. So I
Yeah.
mean, it's something that you could conceivably represent in some sort of
Some
low
function or like
sort
a.
of
you know, low bit rate representation, I guess.
Right.
And then maybe you'd need some sort of correction to correct minor phase discontinuities at some point in time.
I also play with that. And for example, what I found it, well, in this case, we are not trying to encode the speed signal, we are trying to encode some carrier, which is much easier, I would say. You can see it. So what I was trying to encode the phases, so I just found that 2 bits is enough for that, and you really don't hear the difference.
Okay.
So if you keep all the spectral lines as they were there, but you are just quantizing with 2 bits or 3 bits for amplitude, 2 bits for phase, so it's okay.
Okay.
The problem is that you have to transmit many of them.
Yeah.
Because there is not just one dominant component, but usually more others which are quite small.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or what you have to do then, you have to decrease
the size of
the size of not 1 second, but you have to go down, because then you can get just voice part and a noise part. You know, 1 second it's usually mixed, right, somehow. Yeah.
But you don't do any voice on voice decision.
No,
right?
No.
That's even an advantage, I think,
you
for this approach.
And we don't want to do that.
Because in sinusoidal modeling, it's really another issue. Like,
well, that's
yeah.
One of the big problems with
PC.
It sticks because it's hard.
Exactly.
And then you have to combine all this
right.
Harmonic model and noise model. So again, you may end up some joinings.
But for example, what we also found is that if you use just the Hilbert envelope, that one which is trying to approximate that instantaneous energy in some low band, like around 200 hertz, and you take a look on the signal, on the trajectory, you can see that it works like kind of voice detector. Because for low energies there is usually noise, for high energies there is kind of harmonicity.
Yeah.
So it works pretty well for that. So we might use this one.
But
information
that,
for that, but
that 200, this is what they use, like they do use this for pitch marking in speech. So this is what Glasscode uses. But it's very speaker dependent on what sort of bandwidth you look at this Hilbert envelope.
Right. Uh-huh.
Depending on the pitch, depending on the person, you'll get a different amount of smoothing at a certain sort of you know, if it's a female speaker, for instance,
that's true.
So you have to tune a lot of parameters, like
that's a problem.
But anyway, you don't really need hard decisions, no, like voice to voice. So maybe it may help you, but it
nice not to have anything like that.
Yeah, but from memory, that basic script that they had wasn't very effective. I mean, maybe if you did some sort of initial first guess and then.
Right.
And then chose your smoothing factor based on that. Because,
you know,
selecting at any particular point of what the pitch is at the point is maybe inaccurate, but if you estimated it over a second, you should be able to get a decent estimate.
But do you really need it, or like voice to
voice?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe if we really want to improve the quality, then we will need it. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's not really, you don't need to specify at each point it's voice to voice.
Not now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have a time next month or in 3 weeks, so I'll try to play some examples there.
It'd be nice to really see what you're actually trying to reconstruct here.
What you're trying to reconstruct?
This carrier signal, what it really...
How does it look like?
Yeah.
Or?
And you did say it looks like a frequency modulated cosine.
More or less.
Hmm.
It's kind of not frequency, let's say amplitude modulation, where you have just the carrier and that modulation
and then
signal.
Amplitude.
Right.
But you're changing, even frequency is also shifting, no? Like you're telling.
Well,
Yeah. So then, then it's not exactly amplitude modulation, so it's in between, maybe.
It's in between. It's not this or that. Still, But anyway, what also the NR approach, which is possible to use. The NR is one to keep the phase like this one, two spectrograms, one the phase, one the magnitude.
Yeah.
And I can again play it, and it works on 2 kilobits per second.
That's what Marius did, no? But he was keeping all the phase in.
No, what he was doing, he was using it for speech recognition.
No, but even his code, like he didn't do anything. He just transmitted. That's why he was aiming for
speech coding. You mean?
He's not really kind of doing speech coding, but he wants to do it on music, so he doesn't really care about the bandwidth, so he wants to have the quality.
I don't know.
Yeah, but even especially the audio CDs and That's why he was telling, like, yeah, at least even 10 kb, 20 kb also is okay.
Right,
So,
yeah.
but he's not touching face at all. I think he's just transmitting all the face and then.
Well, for
But
example,
he's
these
encoding
kinds
the
of.
envelope. Yeah.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah, I think so. There are more papers which are using this approach, like
Yeah,
trying
yeah.
to encode the magnitude spectrum of
And
the
then leaving the
gigam,
face. Yeah.
leaving the face, or you just really can, again, the face can be replaced by the noise, which is pretty
Yeah.
good. So that's the bandwidth variable approach. So if you really don't have a bandwidth, you just can replace it
Yeah.
by noise and it works. Of course, then it doesn't sound as the original because it's more whispered or whatever, but you can understand well. And for example, if you mentioned this one approach with the trajectory of the face, under
Yeah.
face trajectory, I also use because you can do it here when you get into this domain where you apply or you are trying to compute power spectrum in
Yeah.
order. Let's say that this kind of trajectory doesn't fit this in frequency or time domain, but here you are trying to compute to do linear prediction. So you're
Yeah.
just doing FFT, right? Then applying power in order to get to power domain, and then IFFT, right? So you get the autocorrelation coefficients.
Autocorrelation coefficient.
So before you're applying power spectrum, you can again get the you have
Yeah,
the
they again get the
complex
phase. Yeah, again get the
frequency
phase.
or complex spectrum, you can get the phase, right? And
Yeah.
the phase look quite similar like this, so you might see it is
Yeah, it's like
more or less
a,
like a line.
yeah. And it does start to get a little bit
Right.
non-linear towards the end, but normally
Yeah.
that's when the components are not actually probably going to be audible anyway in voice speech, right? So,
Right.
yeah.
But this phase is different from your career,
Yeah,
no? Like,
it is very different, yeah.
because you're
That
just doing on your,
you're doing in different domain. It's in
yeah, and
different
also
frequency
like,
domain, it's in time domain.
yeah.
And it is
Yeah.
quite
And,
sensible to any quantization, what I
yeah.
found. Really, it looks like the line, so you just say, okay, let's put the line there, but
Yeah.
it doesn't work. Well, you can understand, but
Yeah,
you
sure.
can hear that there are many
Because any sort of error
artifacts
in
which.
that
Right,
line
exactly.
is transmitted, is realized in as a
Right,
phase error,
right.
right? Yeah.
And the another problem is that it's not bandwidth variable, so you cannot say that this part will be just the noise, which you can do in here in this approach. So that's why I didn't play with that so more, because I
Okay.
found there are more disadvantages than the advantages of this approach. So
Yeah.
that's why.
But even you can use that phase directly.
You mean this
Whereas
one?
the, yeah, this
Yeah,
one
you
is
can use
direct.
just the original phase and
But this is phase of your spectrum, no? Like it's not in
right.
time
Yeah,
domain. So
it's not a phase.
of your signal, it's not.
Yeah.
So
It's
then
the
it's a bit
phase.
tricky, like how.
No, you can again put that envelope with this phase together, because
Okay, but
envelope
still
is.
you get only the magnitude of your
You
Hilbert envelope. You won't get
no,
the.
you no, you get the.
Phase slices like
Yeah, you get the
across that way, I
complex
guess.
spectrum with this.
No, but you started with Hilbert envelope, no? Like magnitude of
No,
Hilbert
I
envelope.
started with the
Magnitude of his.
DCT.
No, before DCT, you're the.
No,
Oh.
after DCT, you're trying. This is a kind of, again, a real trajectory, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to first find that Hilbert envelope, so as.
Okay. So input to the DCT is the speech or like your.
This is a speech.
Okay, just you're starting
No,
with.
but here what I want to say is really that it's not part of Hilbert envelope, it's part of the DCT schizophrenia.
Cook.
So
Yeah, maybe the then.
it's not, it's enough. If you have just this phase and the Hilbert envelope, you can
Yeah.
put it together.
Okay.
You don't need the carrier. I mean, this is kind of carrier signal, but in different domain represented.
Yeah, it's in frequency domain.
Right,
Oh.
right. So what I think is that we really need to apply this kind of analysis by synthesis approach in order to
Yeah,
get
that
some
makes sense
thinking.
because it's a time domain sort of
Right.
approach.
What
And I
I
mean, and in fact, I mean, it's what you're doing is so different to most approaches to speech coding that it doesn't matter that we don't know much about or haven't had
No.
much. It's,
You mean
I mean, it's quite different to a lot of the traditional sort of
Right.
source filter type approaches
Yeah,
or
definitely it's
right,
yeah.
right. The same.
So,
But I
but now I
mean
think
that's
people.
maybe even the advantage here, because it's not speech based, which means we are
It's just a
not
matter of
yeah.
minimum distortion type.
Right. So you
Yeah.
can when I tried and comparing with RTC 10 on a twice bigger or higher bit rate, this worked works better, it seems to me, just for unvoiced speech. I'm not mentioning voiced
unvoiced,
because that's unvoiced.
Unvoiced speech is very difficult to sort of judge on quality compared to
yeah,
voice.
Yeah, but when you hear and try to hear some examples with the music, for example.
Yeah, plosives are very important,
yeah.
I guess.
Right, yeah.
So maybe it does a better job of plosives.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. Well, anyway, it seemed to me pretty good.
Okay. It'd be nice if you had some demos.
Well,
I suppose you have to wait till your term, I guess.
So when is your term?
It should be 13 December.
Okay. Wait, just
before.
You'll
be gone.
You'll be here.
You'll be here.
You'll practice it before then, won't you?
Okay. I just swapped it with Mike Perro, I think, because he's not going to be here.
Yeah,
this
he's
time.
Going to us.
And
yeah.
I was supposed to have it in January. So. Anyway, so. But anyway, I wanted to hear something maybe from you, what you were doing with speech coding, because you mentioned that.
I did, yeah, but we're doing a more traditional
but
frequency slices rather than temporal based stuff.
But it was based on, like, you were using kind of recognizer there, right?
Yeah, well, that was one of the approaches, sure. Yeah, and the other approach was this HMM based stuff, which is basically just a parameterization of the source filter type parameters,
uh-huh.
and then learning the, you know, training
right.
the speech recognition system,
right.
But that's not terribly. That's got no relationship to this.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
different, but speech coding at least.
Yeah, sure, speech coding. I've read some of the other techniques or standards, but I mean, I think you're on the right track with analysis by synthesis, but. That doesn't tell you what sort of bit rates you're going to achieve, or
right, yeah, sure.
And because you have to do it separately for each
band, right?
Would be I imagine that's the tricky part. Because it would be varying quite rapidly, wouldn't it? Your code book, like you're within each
with different
when you go along the 1 second. Sort of segment of the
I
band.
Know, but maybe what we can already do is to decrease this distance. We can do a Hilbert envelope approximation with 1 second, but then we can split that signal into, I don't know, 10 segments
yeah.
with 100 milliseconds or even less, and we can apply some error technique for that. You know.
Well, I mean, yeah, first you've got to choose your approach and not worry about the bandwidth.
Right.
And
exactly.
then
exactly.
start thinking about how to give
yeah.
it, because I mean, I guess. Especially because this is a more of a commercial based project, you've got to match the quality before you start worrying about other things, right? I mean, what sort of
more or less they don't care what will be the quality or the bitrate. They just want to get something new, you know.
Oh, okay.
So if you get the very low bitrate with reasonable quality or very high bitrate. Which is again different, but with high quality, they will be happy with the board.
Okay.
So,
you know, yeah,
on one side it's pretty good, but on the other, you don't know which way you should go.
Yeah, sure.
And
at the moment, you're at sort of a point where maybe you have to make that choice a little
right.
bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. Do you want to mention your speech coding experiments?
No.
So
really.
You were saying that you're doing something in India with
Yeah, but it's mostly like this SELP and this.
So you know the SELP, like.
No, I was doing some like writing some code for testing and these things. So I'm making some standards
yeah.
for that. So there are like the thing. These standards, how it works, is like they give all the pseudo code kind of thing, and then
yeah.
they put severe test conditions. So you have to pass those test conditions, like.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can say, okay, we implemented this 70
yeah.
This.
Although standards, depending on what standard you're dealing with, sometimes it can be quite
yeah.
ambiguous, right? I mean, all
yeah.
the latest MPEG standards
yeah.
are basically, this is the
yeah.
container.
Yeah.
We don't care how you do it, right? But
yeah.
it's got to fit inside this,
right.
yeah.
this sort of this
So
sort of
that's
format.
Why it's really, even the standards, they give the test signals also. You can't really do it on whatever database you have. So,
okay. And
so you have to use the...
Then you have to do MOS
yeah.
Tests.
Yeah, it's more like yeah, they define So I did for some even Echo Cancer also. There also they define what is the overlap speech condition, everything they define. So
Okay,
you need to
yeah.
follow all those.
I see.
Yes, this industry is again different, like.
Yeah, but it's quite interesting with even with current speech coding technologies. Yeah, they are still trying to use SELP or those RPA
Yeah, I think they're using
technologies.
only
There is
most.
nothing new, more or less.
What?
And if I when I was listening the talk of Milan Jelinek, he's the Czech guy, but he lives in Canada. I don't know the name of the university, but they have the button, I think, for Kelp even, or
Okay.
Kelp is from AT&T, no? Like AT&T.
I don't know how
Yeah.
this exactly, but they
The
got
all this LPC stuff
very
is.
famous for this, for that self. What
Yeah.
they did exactly, I don't know if something different a little bit or not, or they just keep those patents, or I don't know how it is exactly. Maybe
Okay.
Hine will know much more, but
Yeah. Well,
when I heard the presentation, they didn't do so much new. I mean, it
Oh,
was
no.
last year, and I think Hine, he was asking, so what's new that you are so famous with that? And then they said, okay, we know exactly how to do that. I mean, you know,
Hey,
not to
there.
make any errors, like in because everybody knows how to do that, but it's not so easy to implement it, right? So
No. Yeah.
there is nothing so much new,
Yeah,
really.
that's the
Well, the
main thing, even.
what's
Yeah.
new is in the transmission medium, like
Yeah.
new, like higher bandwidth
Right.
transmission, or like packetized based transmission,
Yeah.
and all that sort of
Right.
thing, where they're not so much looking at the algorithm, but so much
Exactly.
as how do we incorporate the algorithm within a new transmission sort of medium.
Yeah, like
Like you
yeah.
see, like I mean, if you see a lot of papers on like
Voice or
voice
IP
over
or
IP or whatever, the publications are sort of like,
Right.
how do we deal with packet loss, or how does
Yeah.
it affect
Right,
our packet loss,
exactly. But
and
then
things
they
like
are
that.
still using like error signal, which is going to be approximated by codebook, right?
Yeah, sure.
And linear prediction, which is
Yeah.
approximating just the spectrum
Yeah.
for months and everything that. That's all. So
Yeah. And again, a lot
so.
of this stuff, like where even when I was working mostly, that company was developing for voice over IP, so they have to put all these things on again DSPs, and also it's
Right,
mostly like
yeah.
how
Like
many LPCs
optimization of
are,
the code and all
yeah,
that
how
sort of
many
stuff.
core, yeah, it's real
Yeah.
optimization, and then
But even
it's
that's
even,
less of a big deal now, right? Because all the
yeah,
little
again,
optimized.
now even
Right.
they're also becoming, yeah, even the memories are not
Not
really,
really. You can throw MATLAB on a mobile phone next to me. Sure. Well, maybe not, but.
So even I think, yeah, then you can have whatever bandwidth is. It's not really.
Well, I hope that we still have a lot of time for that because
But no, I think, yeah, but still then that's what maybe people are going towards science or modeling, no? Like, always before,
I
when the
think generally
bandwidth
it's
conditions were
pretty
really
easy.
stringent, then they were using
Yeah.
all the LPC-based
For
source
example,
filter.
when I was, harmonic noise modeling, that H&M system, which is used
Yeah,
for
which David
synthesis
did.
more,
Yeah.
it's pretty interesting. I mean,
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
if
doing
you
quite
want, you
well.
can look at his code and all.
Yeah, we
But
can look at
only
his code implemented. Sorry. It
right.
wasn't perfect. There was a little bit of bugs with some of the phase matching, but it was pretty hard to tell that it was not perfect unless you heard the samples sort of next to one another. So that's not too bad.
But definitely it's better than coded speech, no?
Oh,
Definitely, it's
sure.
really.
And I mean,
But
yeah,
how much
definitely.
you can get compressed is like
Well,
what you're telling is you can do all these tricks, like, yeah,
the
these.
only trick is the phase, and
Yeah.
we've got a student starting in January who's going to start working on how to actually efficiently parameterize the
You
like
mean in
H&M.
sinus level
Yeah,
modeling?
yeah.
yeah. And I think we've got a number of ideas for the spectrum. It's easily enough handled
Yeah.
just using standard techniques,
But anyway, do you know exactly how it is done when you really have those MFCC coefficients, which means magnitude spectrum, and then you are trying to reconcile the speech
without phase,
without the
I've
phase?
got no idea. You
Oh
did see
yeah,
any
I
papers
read.
about it? No,
I
those
reviewed one
papers.
paper. Like yeah,
But
that's
I'm a little
from.
confused about it. I don't
No,
know
yeah,
how
maybe
it's
you
done.
can look at the. It's from
Oxford and
University of
Oxford,
East.
right?
Yeah, East
Yeah.
Anglia.
Which
Yeah,
one?
this.
University of East Anglia.
University of East Anglia. Ben
It's near
Milner.
sort of. It's near the sort of Cambridge side of England, I
Yeah.
guess.
I can forward you that. They're
Yeah,
doing a lot
maybe
of
next.
tricks. They're again training Gaussian mixtures for
Oh.
different frequencies, and then.
You know, but there are
But
some
again, they're
algorithms which are
following the.
quite.
Yeah.
No, much more mathematical, I
Yeah,
think.
yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
just basically doing a search. faster or some stuff like that, don't they? Or
No, those things are again based on LPC, no? Like
it
mainly
seems to me, yeah, something like
like,
that.
yeah. Because
Like
like the
so what?
pitch estimation in the X waves or these things,
You know what
they're
you can do?
all dynamic programming based on again LPC analysis.
What you can do is take just the minimum phase of which you can get from a linear prediction, right? You know
Yeah.
what I mean, minimum phase
And then
signal.
construct,
And
right?
it sounds quite reasonable that you can, so, but of course, it's not original at all. So I don't know how they do that exactly. I have no idea.
Yeah, again, like, no, the problem is different for everybody. Like, this case, what they're doing for distributed speech recognition mainly.
Yeah, right.
This,
Sure. Well, you've
so,
only got the
the
MFCCs, but
MFCCs, so.
I think it was to do with Aurora or something,
No, it's
or
ETSA or something, European standard.
okay.
For Aurora,
Even
it didn't do
acrylic,
anything, really.
even it's kind of Aurora framework, so
Yeah, but it
yeah.
didn't do any speech
No, but now it's bit
reconstruction.
forward, yeah, now they're
It was for saying, say you've got someone who has, they want to dispute that this is what they actually said by the recognition, and the recognition network was wrong, and you owe me money or whatever. And then they can say, well, we've reconstructed your speech from the speech recognize input to the speech
EMFs.
recognizer. Hey, voila, it sounds like you. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot of sort of, well, does the quality stand up to legal sort of requirements or whatever? But
But even
it's.
at this some point, they're planning to use for standard GSM or this. It's not that, or
I know, there's a separate set of standards, I think,
yeah,
for speech recognition.
ETS,
Yeah,
European,
yeah,
Commission.
yeah. Which I think
Well,
requires, it states the information they can send is this. So I don't know if you can actually tack on any extra phase information or whatever. You have to deal with what you're given, so.
all the standards are really
Yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting. I mean, maybe that's the best approach to look at it to begin with, is just pretend all you have got is.
You mean with this phrase?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because you can also interpolate the pitch information from the
But
spectrum as well.
yeah, they do
They
some
do that.
kind of reconstruction of
Yeah.
speech.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe try to see how good you can go without transmitting any of that information.
That's
But the
interesting.
quality again problem, right?
The pitch was really good, I thought. I didn't think you could
No,
really tell.
again, European standards, what they give is they give the MFCCs and they give the pitch.
Yeah.
Then you have to construct the thing.
Yeah.
But if you have MFCCs, then like again, you have to get the higher order MFCCCs and then
Yeah, but I mean, the
then
thing
you
is,
have
if
to.
it's mel scaled, if you have a mel scale, you get quite fine reconstruction of the spectrum at the lower frequencies, which is what you need for reconstruction of the pitch anyway. So, I mean, if you wanted to transmit with fewer bands, you'd maybe still keep the lower bands, or maybe you could still transmit the pitch. The pitch isn't that big a deal, but it'd be nice if you didn't, because then, I mean, that's. Well, I mean, it's worth giving it a go, and then, I mean, maybe seeing, well, what information you can add to the data stream to improve performance. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So
Sorry,
how about
big
you?
cutting.
I've never done any coding in my life, so. I just one curiosity. So this is coding, then you code the speech, then you are supposed to transmit the speech, right? Let's say in GSM or something else. I remember when I was doing some image processing, there were techniques for compressing and then coding, so adding channel information on the image at the same time in order to save some bits.
You
You see
mean
what I
like
mean?
channel and source coding together?
Exactly.
No.
I was just wondering if there's someone was doing it with speech as well.
Well, I can imagine kind of like JPEG operations, which might be almost like source coding and we also channel coding because we just smooth it or just
Well, actually, when you
I don't
compress,
know.
yeah, well, like,
I don't
first you compress the signal, right? And then you add some
know. Right,
complexity to the signal in order to recover the error. So I was wondering if by any chance there was something like this in speech, with the speech.
I don't know.
You don't
I don't know so much about channel coding, like those Huffman coding stuff, and
Well, I mean,
I mean it's just
Huffman's
standard.
easy enough, but yeah.
It's a standard technique.
It's not the most efficient.
But yeah, sure. That's where I stop. Run length encoding, I'm out of here.
But I think again it's different, no? Like these standards again, all these JSON standards, maybe
Yeah,
they have the
exactly.
compression standards and again
Sure, sure.
coding standard, but maybe I
And this was the
didn't
problem actually, because you were
I don't remember anything like they're doing combine.
not in GSM,
Even
definitely.
normal G17 and normal speech coder, so they have the speech coding standards again, they have the channel coding,
Then
so
they have some
so it's
source, so yeah. Okay, just
I mean, I think they do try to. I mean, obviously,
maybe.
the techniques they choose are supposed to be less, susceptible to coding errors per se. But
Definitely.
I mean, that's maybe the limit to that.
Again, it's okay.
This is good?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you then.
Okay, thank
Okay.
you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, if you find some good paper, you
Yeah,
know.
I told you, no, that this there was
What's
that
the fame
Venn diagram, like yeah, you can say.
waveform for prototyping?
No, waveform prototyping is different. I was suggesting like this, but that's again totally. Did you hear that Bastian Klein's? You know, waveform. No, he's really fun guy in speech coding like this. He proposed one prototype waveform.
Okay.
Like they take the signal and then they project into two dimensional and then they take the faces. And it's like prototypes, kind of wavelets you can see, like, but it's
Okay.
not exactly wavelets. So
Yeah.
they take slow moving waveforms, slow moving signal,
Yeah.
and like fast moving, and then they combine. So it's like, so you project signal into two dimensional space and then separate the slow moving parts and
Oh,
fast
so
moving
kind of
part.
capstone or something like that.
No, this is like they call
Yeah,
prototype.
that's
Yeah, it's.
sounds a bit that way, doesn't
So now
it?
people
I don't
mostly
know.
use it for like residual length coding. Like, so even suppose if
Yeah.
you have the LPC, then you can use this technique for residual
Oh, that's quite
compression.
interesting.
Yeah. So
That'd be good for me.
you can
Exactly.
really get good qualities with 4 kilo
So that
bits
was
per
that
second or
waveform
something.
coding which you gave
Prototype.
me, that prototype coding paper.
But the yeah,
So.
so people can use at waveform level or at residual level. So if you're using LPC, you can use at residual level. You can see residual as some
Right.
signal. So it's really, so in residual, you can clearly see whether it's fast moving or
Yeah,
like
yeah.
all these calls.